pasuk kovet chachamim yinchalu, and perek gimel pasuk lamed hey. So in kovet chachamim yinchalu, there is a very yesoidistika mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Actually, it's not a mishnah, technically speaking. As all of you know, all of you should know, the last perek that we call Pirkei Avos is not in the Mishnayos of Avos. If you'll open up a Mishnayos in the Mishnah and you go to Seder Nezikin where you find Avos, you will not find the sixth perek. The sixth perek is actually in the minor tractates called, like Maseches Sofrim v'chulu, it's called Kala Rabosi. Maseches Kala Rabosi has this perek in its entirety, and that also explains why the Gemara's, the Nusach of the very first Braisa, because that's what they are Braises, they are not Mishnayos, is Shonu Chachomim Bilshon HaMishnah. Of course, every Mishnah is Bilshon HaMishnah, and you never find that anywhere else. What it means is that the style and the language of the Mishnayos are used in these Braises. Shonu Chachomim, these Braises, Bilshon HaMishnah. And the entire Perek, of course, is a Perek concerning Torah, and Limud HaTorah, Avas HaTorah, and the Segulos of Torah, and particularly the Kinyone HaTorah. So the Perek Kinyon HaTorah, the sixth Perek of Avos. The reason they did that was because that way they would have a series of 6 weeks, and when it went from Pesach to Shavuos, that Perek, which deals with Limud HaTorah, was immediately preceding Shavuos. Very appropriate that the Shabbos before Shavuos should have that theme. So in this, even though it says Mishnah Gimel, but you have to understand that it's in Perek Vav. So in Perek Vav Mishnah Gimel, there's a very, very well-known Braisa. And the Braisa says that you have to have kavod even for a person who teaches you very little Torah. Just for the fact that he taught you anything requires that a person should respect the teacher. And halomet me chaveru perek echod oy halocha achatz a posuk echod oy dibur echod afilu os echos. Now afilu os echos, it's hard to know what that means. It means the meaning or significance of the os in some particular medrash and so on, like kabed es avicha ve esimecha, what's the vav teaching you? Or does it mean he actually teaches you aleph beis? So afilu os echos sarach linog bo kavod shekei matzinu b'david melech Yisrael shaloi lamad me'achi toifel elu shnei dvarim bilvad kroi. And nevertheless, even though he was his teacher only in a very limited sense, kroi rabbi alufoi umyudoi shenema v'ato enosh ke'erki alufi umyudoi paloi dvarim kal v'choymel ma david melech Yisrael shaloi lamad me'achi toifel elu shnei dvarim bilvad kroi rabbi alufoi umyudoi. All that the great melech David learned from Achitofel, nevertheless, he calls him his master, his aluf. You know, aluf is a lashon that's used even by the great families of Esav. Aluf means the like a general, somebody who's very great. Aloimid mechaveru perek echod alocha achas a pasuk echod a dibur echod afilo os achas alachas kama v'kama shetzorich linhog bo kavod. You notice an interesting thing that they did not. Even though the language is terse, they did not hesitate to repeat what they said just a moment ago all over again to make the point clear that it doesn't have to be that he's your teacher for years. He doesn't have to be Rabbo Mufak, as they call it. It doesn't necessarily even have to be his teacher in the formal sense. When you go into a yeshiva or he's his Rav and he gives shiurim, if he teaches him any Torah, no matter what his station and no matter who he is, he already has to be granting him kavod. Now, the next lines of this braisa are unusual for two reasons. Number one, because we are l'cha'ora satisfied. We're finished. We made the point. And the point is that David HaMelech, as is quoted from the pasuk, kroi Rabbi Elufu Miyadot. What is being added here in the next line? The next problem is that whenever somebody reads this line in Pirkei Avos on the typical Shabbos afternoon, automatically assume something that is not correct. Namely, that the Pasuk states, Kavod chachomim yinchalu usmimim yinchalu toif. There is no such Pasuk. The Pasuk pasuk of Kavod Chachamim Yinchalu, if you look at the very top of the page here, that's our pasuk, Perek Gimel, pasuk Lamed Hei. That pasuk does not end with the words Usmimim Yinchalu Tov. The pasuk ends with the words Ukesilim Meirim Kolom. Right? Kavod Chachamim Yinchalu, Ukesilim Meirim Kolom. As is found very, very often in Mishlei, the contrast between the Chacham and the fool, the wise man, the tzaddik, and the fool, the Rasha. So here you also have that same contrast. The contrast is between the Chacham and the Ksil. Kavod Chachamim Yinchalu, Ksil Meirim Kolom. The Chacham is the only one that in the end gets the proper kavod, and the ksil, as much as he tries to get honor and get glory, he always ends up with bizyonos, kolom. Now, of course, there's a double sense to this. Many times people try vie for honor, and the honor is amongst in the wrong context and with the wrong people. So what appears to be honor, the next day they stab you in the back. The next day they knock you down. So the idea of honor is very, very iffy. It's very unlikely. Because it's not only not that the honor isn't an honor, but there's a big suffix, even l'shitasam, according to their perspective, whether this person is going to really get honor. Because they fight and they backstab, and they then one day it's good and the next day it's the exact opposite. So ksil meirim kolom for two reasons. First of all, because his honor is not honor. And secondly, because even l'shitaso, it might not be anything at all. But the kavod of chachamim, yinchalu, this is something that they inherit. Now the question is, why did we have these two chalokim back to back? If the pasuk is kavod chachamim yinchalu, ksil meirim kolom, why does it continue with Kavod Chachamim Yinchalu, Usmimim Yinchalu Tov? Where is the pasuk of Usmimim Yinchalu Tov? Look at the footnote on the bottom. It's also in Mishlei, but much, much later. In Perek Chav Ches Pasuk Yud, Mashke Yisharim B'derech Ra B'Shechusa Hu Yipol. A person who tries to undermine the tzaddikim and tries to trip them up, he himself is going to falter in the trap that he made for them. In other words, he'll be caught in his own trap that he laid for the tzaddikim. And usmimim, and those who are innocent and simple and straightforward, tamim tiyeh mashem alokecha, yinchalu tov, they will inherit good. So here in this braisa, which is Perek Vav, called Mishnah Gimel of Pirkei Avos, which is really Maseches Kala Rabbosi, it says here that kavod shenemar, Kavod Chachamim Yinchalu, Usmimim Yinchalu Tov. So Vein Kavod Ala Torah Shenema, Kavod Chachamim Yinchalu, Usmimim Yinchalu Tov, Vein Tov Ala Torah Shenema, Kilak Tov Nasati Lochem, Torasi Al Tazovu. So, in this, these two questions that I asked you, what do we need this for? The point was already made, that a Talmud is called a Talmud even if he learned only a very limited amount, only an idea, a thought, a pasuk, osachas. And the second question is, what are they doing here with these two chalokim of the pasuk and making it appear that these are from one pasuk when in fact they're two separate psukim entirely? It's the beginning of a pasuk in Perek Gimel and the end of a pasuk in Perek Chav Ches. Interestingly enough, in the pshat of this juxtaposition, there is min hakotza el hakotza interpretation in the Mefarshim. Fascinating. And in the contrast of this, I presented to you later on the Sfas Emes and Reb Moshe Almasnino in his Pirkei Moshe on Pirkei Avos. Reb Moshe Almasnino was in Saloniki in the 1500s. Sfas Emes was a little bit later. But the fact is that their perspectives are fascinating because from the same makar, they derive almost opposite ideas. It just goes to show the flexibility and the excitement of learning Torah that the same vart can relate in so many different ways to us. But before we begin that, what is being added by these psukim? So the question that we have is, Tzarech linhog bo kavod. Ein kavod ela Torah. Even the words don't fit. When we speak about Tzarech linhog bo kavod, we understand what that means. It means that you stand up for somebody who's a Talmud Chacham, that you address him in a certain way, and so on and so forth. There are halachos of how to be mechabed a Talmud Chacham, how to be mechabed a Rebbe. So what is being added is not just a question of what's being added. It seems to be directing us elsewhere. What do we gain and what do we see and how do we understand Ein Kavod Ela Torah? What kavod are we talking about? The Tzarech Linhog Bo Kavod? So I think the answer is, perhaps, that what this Braisa is telling me is that when you give kavod to a Talmud Chacham, and even to the person who taught you one thought of Torah, one word of Torah, and you give him respect, that respect is a quid pro quo. Because he gave you kavod. What does that mean? He gave you kavod? He gave you Torah. Real kavod is Torah. How do we understand something like that? In other words, I take, and this is my sense of it, for what it's worth, but this is my understanding of it. I take a person, and he is empty of Torah bichlal, or empty, even David HaMelech, Melech Yisrael, full of Torah, replete with Torah, but there's one piece of Torah that he's missing. Two pieces of Torah, to be precise, that he's missing that Achitofel teaches him. Without those two pieces of Torah, there is a gap in the universality of David HaMelech's knowledge of Torah, as great as he is. And you have an entire range, an entire gamut of people, some more capable, some less, some more knowledgeable, some less. But be that as it may, there is something that they don't know that someone else is giving them. That which is being given to them, we can think of it in intellectual terms. We can think of it in spiritual terms. But we would not necessarily think that it crowns the person with some measure of glory that elevates and edifies him, and that is identified with the word kavod. You know, it says, "Su'uri sha'arim rasheichem v'yavo melech ha'kavod." Mize melech ha'kavod. The word kavod. V'samticha b'nikras hatzur v'hoya ba'avor kvodi. V'samticha b'nikras hatzur. There's something about kavod that is associated with Shechina, and something about kavod which basically says you are a different kind of human being. Whenever a person honors somebody, there's a pedestal there somewhere. Now, most pedestals are made out of straw. It doesn't look like they're made out of straw. It looks solid and impressive, but it's all made out of straw. The only pedestal that's real is the pedestal that is given to a person when he's given Torah. It's a very remarkable idea. It's an extraordinary idea. That gaining Torah elevates the person and grants him kavod. It is well known that the word kavod and kaved are one and the same. When we speak of weightiness, of import, of significance, when you say he's a man of substance, what do we mean by a man of substance? It means he has a lot of money, but it means much more than that. Because you can call a person money bags, and you can call a person a man of substance, and you're saying two completely different things. A man of substance means that there's something inherent in his being, in his essence, which is reflected by his capacity. When you are able to do all kinds of things, you have a lot of koach, you have a lot of control. So you're a man of substance. And you see it in the way he walks, in the way he speaks. Not always l'toiv necessarily. But from the perspective of money being something, a man of substance who has a lot of that is a bigger something than the man who doesn't. exactly the same thing, but in an ultimate reality, which cannot be fudged and cannot be fraudulent, is a person who gains even a mashu of Torah. Yesterday he was on this level, today he's on that pedestal, a little bit higher, or a lot higher. And that is kavod. And Chazal are telling us that when I give a Talmud Chacham kavod, or I give my Rebbe kavod, and what kind of kavod do I give him? I give him the kavod which is understood, respect, honor. It's because he gave me kavod. How did he give me kavod? He gave me Torah. He didn't give me kavod. Because Torah is the ultimate kavod, because the person changes in a fundamental and real sense to be elevated. His pedestal's not made of straw. In the final analysis, whenever the Rambam, which I quote many, many times, in the third perek of Hilchos Talmud Torah, speaks about Keser Torah, the crown of Torah, he starts out with the famous Chazal that there are three crowns in Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit, as much as it is the human being serving Hashem, never shied away from the notion that you can be a greater human being than the fellow next to you. And it is possible to be a king, it's possible to be a kayeng, and both of these are greater. And that's why they're called crowns. There's Keser Kahuna and Keser Malchus. Even Kahuna is a crown. Very interesting idea. We would say that Malchus is a crown because that's the definition of a crown. Royalty is defined by authority, and the Melech is given that authority. Chosen by the people, chosen also by Hashem. He's a Melech, he's anointed, he's king. But why does a Kohen have a crown? A Kohen has a tafkid, he has a job. He's a servant. Since when does a servant have a crown? You see a very remarkable thing, that the Kohen is not merely a servant. He's perceived as elevated and above. Huvdalu, the Havdalah of Shevet Levi, and the Havdalah of the Kohen, is an elevation. It isn't just a compartment next to another compartment. It's not like you have Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael. The fact that I'm a Kohen is not, has nothing to do with what I'm saying right now, whatsoever. I would say the same thing if I was a Yisrael. Maybe not as enthusiastically. Abba Lamaisa, the fact of the matter is that it's not three compartments side by side. And I want you to know, when Korach came along with his democratic, you know, chaos, you know, he said, Kola Ega Kulam Kedoshim. This was a way of saying, not only are all the compartments the same, but there are no compartments for Flah. But he was wrong on two counts. First of all, it's not the same, and secondly, there are elevations. And a kayin, kisifse kayin yishmu das v'sayri yivakshu mipiu ki malach Hashem tzvokoyzhu. And that's a crown. But with all of that, the crown of kayin, the crown of Melech. So the Rambam says the crown of kayin was given to Aaron and his descendants. A crown that you get because you were born into it is not as great as the crown that you acquire by dint of your own efforts. The crown of Malchus was given to David and his children. But the crown of Torah is waiting for anyone to come and place it upon his head. And it doesn't matter who you are. And the Mamzer Talmid Chacham is Kodim L'Koyin Godel Am Ha'aretz. So the Chazal's perception of the crown is that you are elevated. And the reciprocity of the kavod that you give to your teacher is because he elevated you. And the kavod that he gave you as a result is never going to be matched by the kavod that you give to him. Because whether you like it or not, the kavod that you give by standing up and by offering him your seat and by putting him up front and whatever else you might do, these are all mirrors of the human perception of kavod, which you have to do. But the ultimate transformation of the person is not going to happen. You can take anybody and put him up front, but you cannot enhance the person and create the real pedestal unless you teach him Torah. And therefore, the reward for giving you kavod of Torah is never really matched by the reward that you give him, which is the human kavod of respect and granting authority. So this perspective puts an entirely different face on this braisa. What the braisa is telling me is that the tzarek linog bo kavod is a reciprocity, because he gave you the ultimate kavod. Now, the pasuk says kavod chachamim yinchalu. I often wondered, how do they know that this pasuk is talking about Torah? There's not one word in this pasuk that speaks of Torah. So you could say that most chachamim are poor, and most chachamim do not have the respect that they deserve. So what is kavod chachamim? It must be the Torah itself. You could say that if you want. But I think, and in fact it is mentioned in a number of the Sfarim, that they learned it from the word yinchol. Nachla means an inheritance. An inheritance means that something survives to the next generation. Everybody knows that the most fleeting of all substances, you know, you have in chemistry, you have valences, the relative atomic weight of different elements. Now, you have weighty elements, and you have very light elements. And even in the elements themselves, there are different versions, some lighter than the other. But there's nothing lighter than the one element that we call kavod. It is as empty as a balloon, and as easily dissipated. There's nothing there. I always tell you about the individual who came and asked, why isn't there a Birchas Hananin on kavod? But when you think about it for a moment, he did a great thing. He gave money to Torah. It's a great thing. But if you're asking, why was he given that plaque? The answer is because he gave the money. When you think about a person giving money, that's not such an easy thing to do. So maybe there is in the gavra of that person something very noble. And if the plaque is being given for that nobility, fine. But you very rarely find plaques being given at dinners for people who are noble. It's usually because he gave you something first, or he's going to give you something, or he promises to give you something. How can a person digest that kavod as something that is real and substantial when he realizes that the only reason he's up on the dais and the fellow down below is not is because he gave the money? You understand? So if the honor is that he was capable of giving money, you imagine somebody, some master of ceremonies gets up and says, Rabosai, do you know why this person is up on top of the dais? Because all of you don't like to give money. And you don't have that character and that personality and that resolve. This person, he's one of the rare individuals who's capable of parting with this money. And that is why we are honoring him. We're honoring him for the greatness of spirit, for the greatness of character. Okay? I hear that. It generally does not work like that. And especially since the person who's parting with his money would never dream of parting it unless he was honored. So, you know, it's a very complicated tapestry. And anybody who's a fundraiser knows that it is probably, next to cleaning stables, the worst possible job that you could possibly have. And many ways doima to cleaning stables, by the way. But in any case, the whole idea of honor is the nonsense. It's like the chasna or the party after it's over and the people leave. And you look at the floor that's left behind. That's kavod. There's only one kavod that can be substantial enough to stand the test of traveling from one generation to the next. And that's kavod HaTorah. And when you think about it, it's very interesting. People who are emeser gedolim, they don't die. Because their Torah and the respect that people have and the stories that are told about them and the godless and the chashivas and the hamadas talmidim and on and on and on, this goes on forever. And they are as real, I told you, I believe, if you don't remember it, forgive me, but I thought I mentioned it already. Rabbi Yochanan was a Zaken Muflag. They say that Rabbi Yochanan lived very, very, very long. Maybe longer than miraculously long. Well, when Rabbi Yochanan was in his very old age, he was not even able to stand and walk by himself. He had to lean on his Talmud, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. And Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was walking with him, and they passed by a certain field. And Rabbi Yochanan remarked, "This field used to be mine, but I sold it in order to be able to continue learning Torah." He needed the money, needed the support for his family. The next, they passed by a vineyard. And he said the same thing, "This vineyard used to be mine, but I sold it in order to learn Torah." And so he passed by a third thing, and he said, "This was once mine, but I sold it to learn Torah." At which point, remarkably enough, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba started to cry. Das heißt der Talmud, Rabbi said. Das heißt der Talmud. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba started to cry. So Rabbi Yochanan is wondering, "Why are you crying?" And he says, "Rabbi, you left nothing for your old age. Lo shavkes l'seivasach klum. You left nothing for your old age." And Rabbi Yochanan answers him one of those really cryptic, remember I told you, you don't ask the Rebbe, whatever the Rebbe said, but you don't ask him. He says, "I gave up something that was in 6 days created in order to gain something that was in 40 days given." 6 days creation, Maisa Brachos. Material things in order to receive the Torah. So I was thinking to myself, what exactly is he saying? And maybe there are many other explanations for it, for that very cryptic remark. He could have said, "It's Kedai, I got Torah." But I think what he was saying is very, very relevant to what we're talking about here, about Kavod HaTorah, and Torah being Kavod, Ein Kavod Ela Torah. Because in the deal, in the bargain that Rabbi Yochanan got, by selling the field and the vineyard and the house and whatever it was, and being able to continue learning Torah because of that, he gave up the comforts of old age. He gave up the security of old age. Social security, Medicaid, Medicare, and Kleinigkeit. He gave that all up. But he gained something that every old person dreams and thinks about, maybe Yomam Valayla. You know what that is? Mortality. A person till the age of 30, 35 doesn't understand mortality, even though he's clinically capable of describing it. This is not possible for anyone at that age to be masig. There's something biologically peculiar about us that we cannot hear the concept of death, even if it's in front of our very eyes, until a certain age. The way a person functions, it's as if he's immortal. After a certain point, he reaches and realizes the level of mortality as it applies to others, and he begins to think that maybe this has something to do with me as well. But he understands mortality from 35 to 65. When he hits 65, again, I'm not saying that this has anything to do with me specifically, but maybe more real to me. But the fact is the same whether somebody's telling this to you who's 5 years old or who's 105 years old. At the around the age of 65, for your average person, he begins to think of his own mortality. Rabbi Yochanan was thinking about his mortality for many, many, many decades. And he realized that he has a way of becoming immortal. And that is by translating the material, which is always, that's the rule of entropy, it has to be reduced to cold nothing. Every energy dissipates, and every material thing disintegrates. It is the basic yesod of all yesodis. And that is something that he was not able to arrest, no matter how many creature comforts he had, no matter how many vineyards, and no matter how many houses, and no matter how many fields. But there was one magic elixir. There was one brew that if he would drink that potion, he would live forever. And if you open up any Gemara, in fact, interestingly enough, Amar Reb Chiya bar Abba, Amar Reb Yochanan. Reb Yochanan is in almost every Medrash. Reb Yochanan is all over the Yerushalmi. Reb Yochanan is all over the Bavli. Reb Yochanan is more alive than any of us here. And so he will remain forever and ever. What a deal, what a bargain. You give up mortality for immortality in exchange for a few moments of distress and anxiety. Where is tomorrow's bread going to come from? Or can I live forever? That's how I understand what Rabbi Yochanan was saying. Because when you go up to Shemayim and you get the Torah, you're getting something that is not subject to the rules of decay and deterioration. And anything that was created in the Sheishis Yimei HaMaisa is subject to the rules of decay and deterioration. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. So why are you crying, he asks Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, my dear, dear Talmud, why should you cry? Kavod Chachomim Yincholu, you'll ask me, how do we know that it's Torah? Because it's the only kavod that goes from generation to generation. It's the only kavod that can be passed on. Now here we have a very remarkable thing. Remember I asked you, what about the next half of that, what appears to be, they almost make it look like it's one puzzle. Now who points out that it's not? So take a look. In, for example, someone that you may not even know, you know, never heard his name, Reb Matisyo HaYitzhari. He lived about 600 years ago. It's not from today. Vanirali Pirushai. Now, let's start from the beginning. Shein kovet elo l'chachomim shenema kovet chachomim in cholu. Kloimar. Roi l'chabe l'misha ye'utz lohem ha-kovod. He doesn't learn exactly the way I do, that it's reciprocal. But he says that kovod is due to someone who is inherently deserving of kovod. Va'kovod ha-medume v'ha-kozev, the false kovod, the absurd kovod, hu l'misha ye'chabdu l'oshroi u'storusoi v'zeh lo yasmin. He says it black and white. He says if you honor a person because of his money, but because of his authority, because he reigns supreme, it's not going to last forever. Just ask Mr. Mubarak. Yeah. Avo maila sechochma loisosu le'olam v'im ken kvoidam hu akavod amiti. So the way he explains it is that since the chashivus of Torah can never, ever be removed from the person, so he's always possessed of the true kavod. Money you can lose. Authority can be taken away from you. There can be a rebellion. But Torah remains. You know the famous Maaseh Rebbe Akiva was taken captive and with others, and he came to a town and everybody was basically half naked. And they had nothing. All their possessions were taken away. So all the rich people had nothing to show for themselves. Rebbe Akiva got up and he darshened in the local shul. And the minute that he started talking, everybody showered him with blessings and with riches and with kavod, because the inherent capacity of Rabbi Akiva was within Rabbi Akiva. The riches of the Gvirim was outside of them. So when they took their money away, there was nothing left. So that's what he says. And then he says, Usmimim yinchalu tov, ein ze sof pasuk kavod chachamim yincholu. This is not the end of the pasuk. I have to tell you the truth. Before I started learning Mishle, and before I looked at any of these Mefarshim, I think I went for about 20 years thinking that it's exactly one Pasuk. And interestingly enough, I think after I already learned Mishle several times, I didn't realize what I was reading. Because when you're learning Mishle, you're learning Mishle, and when you're learning Pirkei Avos, you're learning Pirkei Avos. It sounds so much like it's one Pasuk. He says, Ein zeh, it's not so. It's not the end of this Pasuk. But what is it instead? Ki hu pasuk b'tchila sefer Mishle, kavod chachamim yincholu in Perek Gimel, u'mesayim, and the end of that pasuk is, as we have in page one on the top, uksilim meirim kolom, v'nirali pirushay. Hinei ha-kavod ha-amiti ha-chachamim yincholu also, l'fi she-yamud lohem lo'ad mitzad chochmosam u'shleimusam, as the maisu with Rabbi Akiva that I just told you. It's with them forever. Aval aksilim ha-kavod meirim klonam, Ki aksil kishiyavu lemalus roa kishiyachabdu bnei adam yisnoheg begaiva ubuz. Be'inyon sheyefarsimu bnei adam chesroinu v'yosem mehera bebuz v'kolay. He says an amazing thing. He says a Talmud Chacham gets up, and a Talmud Chacham generally, if he's a genuine Talmud Chacham, is always full of humility. And in any case, he possesses the Torah that he possesses. So if you give him kavod for that, and he is honored, people stand up for him, what can you say? On the other hand, when somebody gets kavod because of some external factor, he gets very inflated. And he begins to act and talk like a very big Baal Gaiva. Says Reb Matis Yoha Yitzhari, and what are people going to react to that? You see a very haughty person going by and acting like he owns the world, and that everybody owes him who knows what kind of honor and respect. The reaction of people to that is very negative. So they start mocking him, making fun of him, and knocking him down. So actually his kavod, it's like a three-stage process, says Rav Matis Yochai Yitzhari. The kavod leads to gaiva, and the gaiva leads to knocking the person down. So in the end, his kavod is his downfall. So that's why it says in the end of the pasuk that we are learning in Perek Gimel, Uksilim Meirim Kolon. In the ksil, the kavod that lifts him up is actually his bizyonus in the end. Now he writes, Upasuk Zeh, the meaning usmimim yinchalu toiv, who l'soif ha-sefer, it's towards the very end of Mishlei, right? Neishas Chayil is Perek Lamed, this is Perek Chof Ches, v'chein hu, and this is the pasuk. And I quoted the pasuk for you in footnote 1 on the bottom of the first page. Majge yesharim b'derech ra, b'shchuso hu yipol, usmimim yinchalu toiv. Somebody who misleads people and directs them in the opposite direction of the emes, in the opposite direction of Torah and mitzvahs, with the schemes, the same pit, the same trap that he has set for them, who yipol ba, he's going to be the one who falls into it in the end. So smimim yinchalu tov and ein tov ela Torah. Person who goes with the derech of Torah is never going to fall into that pit that is laid to ensnare him. So question is, why did the chachamim of this brisa juxtapose the two halves of the pasuk together? Why did they say Perek Gimel Kavod Chachamim Yincholu should be followed by the end of in Perek Chof Ches Usmimim Yincholu Tov? So he says, Avol Zal Zichronim Levrocha Heviu Bekan Loi Maru Lelamed Shloi Tachshev Sheka Kavod LeChachamim Hu LeEzu Chochma Ki Eino Kein El also hachokma shatmimim yinchalu hi haTorah. Right? It says, Ashrei smimei derech ha-hoyuchim b'toyres Hashem. B'lazeh omar usmimim yinchalu tov, ve'in tov el haTorah, shenema kilekach tov nasati lachem. So he says a very interesting thing. No matter how many times we use the word chokham for chacham haTorah, maybe somebody would think that it's any chokhmah, and the person has knowledge, secular knowledge, knowledge of the world, maybe he also is, his knowledge and his chokhmah give him a fundamental pedestal that's real and substantial, and he is able to inherit that and give it over forever. Maybe that's also nitzchius. After all, chokhmah is a great thing. Chokhmah ba'goyim tamid. So he says, no, that's maybe so, but it's not nachla, and it's not the chokhmah that I'm talking about. What is the chokhmah that I'm talking about, he says? What is that chokhmah? Torah. Because, what's the reason? Because the chokhmah that I'm talking about is connected with yesharim and tmimim. And this is the remarkable yesod of all of Yiddishkeit. You do not have a Talmud Chacham unless he's a Yerei Shamayim. You did not have a Talmud Chacham whose Maisim are the opposite of what we would expect from a Talmud Chacham. To deserve the title of Chacham in the secular world, you could be the biggest, you should forgive me, the biggest creep, the biggest nothing, the biggest naif, the biggest Russia. But you're a Chacham. And anyone who's interested in your Chachma doesn't care a kihuzeh about where you are, who you are, what you do, how you lead your life. In certain Chachmas, it may even be a milah to be a Fador ben Emesh. Depends what the Chachma is. But the fact of the matter is that in Yiddishkeit, the exact opposite is true. Because Torah is supposed to change the person l'toyf. Torah is supposed to elevate the person to be more than the behemoth that he's born. Adam ayer pera yivoled. And if that's the case, a person who is inconsistent with the lessons of the Torah cannot be construed as a Talmud Chacham. That's why it ends by saying, yincholu, yinchalu. There's a gzeirah shava over here. What's the gzeirah shava of Nachala? That the kavod that we're talking about is Torah because it leads to tmimim. Tmimim yinchalu toiv. So that's what the connection of the two parts of the pasuk is, according to Reb Matisyo HaYitzhari. We will continue Bezus Hashem with some of the other parts next week, but I wanted now to show you something very interesting. In the Pirkei Moshe of Reb Moshe Al-Masnino, in contrast with the Sfas Emes, as I mentioned at the beginning of the shiur, the juxtaposition of these two halves of Psukim, almost at opposite ends of Mishlei, fascinated everybody. I think precisely because when you notice that it's not the same Pasuk, it's not one Pasuk, you wonder, why did the Pirkei Avos do that to us? Usually when that happens, it says V'ne'emar. Here it doesn't say V'ne'emar. It says She'ne'emar, Kavod Chachomim Yinchalu Usmimim Yinchalu Toif. So why didn't they add the extra V'ne'emar so that we are not confused? Apparently there's a deliberate desire that we should feel the juxtaposition. We should sense that the two halves, conceptually, even not geographically in Mishlei, but conceptually belong to one another. What are they trying to say? So we saw one pshat in Reb Matisyo HaYitzhar. But now in the Pirkei Moshe of Reb Moshe Al-Masnino, I want to show you something, and it's a big arichus. And this, the rest of it, we'll do another time, Bli Neder. But I want you to look at the very end, which I bolded, I bold-faced for you. Asher Al-Kain. Let's read the previous paragraph. Achmisha malamid l'chaveru dvar ma. Atilu sheyinog bo chaveru min hakavod lo yinchal hakavod ahu hamalamid ahu im lo yiyeh chocham. I shall explain what he's saying in a moment. And it says the word nachla. Afnachla dohocha de chachomim hi nachlas toiv. Shehi behitstarfus hatoira. Ubaze yitu rotsu kol ha'oros. The Pirkei Moshe of Reb Moshe Al-Masnino, very similar to Reb Matisyo HaYitzhari, says that the juxtaposition of the two is to teach me what kind of chacham I'm talking about. As I said a few moments ago, take a look in contrast to the Sfas Emes. In order to understand the Sfas Emes, we have to start with the Medrash Shmos Rabbah. The pasuk says, "Vayishma Yisroel Chosein Moshe," right? Everybody knows the beginning of Yisrael. Interestingly enough, the very first connection, Vayishma Yisrael, what is that? Our Pasuk. What is our Pasuk? Hadohu Dechsev, This is what is written in Mishlei, Kavod Chachamim Yincholu, Zeh Yisrael. You hear a Maisa? I don't think there's anyone in this room that he sees the pasuk Kavod Chachamim Yincholu would dream that it has anything to do with Yisrael. What does the Medrash mean? B'shoah Shabbat Eitzel Moshe. By the way, before you even look at anything, let's think for a moment, what is it about the parasha of Yisrael that could be associated with this pasuk? The answer is, of course, Pashat. What happened when Yisro showed up?
Everybody
came out to greet him. Much more than that, there was this huge expression of honor. Huge expression of honor. And Moshe and Aaron come out, right? Vayavo Moshe Aaron v'chol zikni Yisrael lecha lechem im choisin Moshe lifnei ha'elikim. It's mashma, even the Ribbono Shalom came out. Lifnei ha'elikim. That's kavod chachamim yincholu. The kavod that was given to Yisrael is a kavod that maybe did not replicate itself at any other time for any other human being in the history of the world. Think about it for a minute. Moshe and Aaron don't happen in every door. Vayovei Moshe v'Aaron v'chol zikne Yisrael in a dor deya. Look who came to greet Yisrael. So the Medrash is fascinated by this idea that everybody came out. Now, it's very interesting. Why did they come out? The answer is, ein kleinigkeit. Moshe Rabbeinu Shver. So you see that this Medrash is not linking itself up with that notion. It's not that it's the covet of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because you could push and say, you're mechabed the shver because of the Edom. Because when you give cover to the shver, you are indirectly, of course, giving cover to the Edom who deserves that cover. He's the leader. He took them out of Mitzrayim, ain't Kleinika. So of course you're going to give cover to the shver. We're going to make like Moshe Rabbeinu married nothing, that his shver doesn't count for anything. But apparently it's not so. Now you have to understand, Chazal iskas mashmua shama uva. What bothers Chazal is not that Yisrael showed up. Everybody who has a family, who has relations, you don't ask the question, why did he come? Came to see Moshe Rabbeinu. How are you doing? But shama, he had to hear something. So what is there that he heard? So everybody asks the question. Everybody heard. Shamu amim yirgozum chil achaz yoshvei plushes ozun of halu alufeyedom alei moav rachazema roat. The greatness of Yisrael was that with all that fear and trepidation, nobody ever moved an inch. They went back to their regular lives. Yisrael, he heard and he came. He wants to join up with Klal Yisrael because of all these great miraculous things that he heard about. So he doesn't come to visit his children, his family. Right? There's a whole question, when did Tzipora come and when did the children come? Abba Lamaisa, Yisro is coming because he wants to cleave to the people for whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu has wrought all these miracles. Mechemes Amolek and the Kriyas Yamsuf and everything else. So it says here, Kishpishor Shabbat Eitzel Moshe, Ma Kavod Nochal. Vayomer el Moshe ani choisencha Yisroi bo eilecha. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Shalach loy biyad shaliach. Rabbi Lezer Amar Shalach loy yigeres v'omar asei begini. V'meina ta'isa begini asei begin ishtecha. V'meina ta'isa begino asei begin banecha. You hear? These medrashim are in contrast to the medrash that we are following with the next line. Rabbi Leza Oyma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oma Loi Tzei Vayomer El Moshe Oma Loi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ani Hu Shomarti V'Hoyu Ha'olam Shenemar Keil Elokim Hashem Ani Hu Shani Mekarev V'Ani Hu Shemarachek Shenemar. And he quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyahu Ani Hu Shekeiravti Li Yisrael V'Loi Rechaktiv Adam Zeh Sheba Etzli Loi Bo Elo L'Shem Shamayim V'Loi Bo Elo L'Izgayer Miyad. You have here in this contrast one of the most beautiful, emotive stories of how you perceive the event of Yisro coming to Moshe Rabbeinu. The first one considers Yisro a simple human being who wants to have the respect of Moshe and the people because he is a chashuv person in his own right, where he comes from. And now he's coming to visit his Eidim, and he's bringing the children. And he says to him, if you don't want to give me kavod for myself, at least give me kavod because of your wife, who is my daughter. And if you don't want to give kavod because of your wife, who is my daughter, give kavod because of your children, who are my einik lach. And the remarkable thing about this medrash is, if you medayek carefully, you see a very strange machlokas. One mandiyoma says he sent him a shaliach, and the other one mandiyoma says he sent him a letter. But what's going on over here? It's such a dakus. Who cares how he communicated with Moshe Rabbeinu? Whether he sent him a shaliach or he sent him a letter. I think that maybe Rabbi Yoshua says shalach loy biyad shaliach. The shaliach he sent only heard ani chay sencha yisroi bo elecha. And I'll tell you, maybe I'm wrong. I don't have proof that I'm right. But I have a feeling when you send a person, he's your man, he's your agent. He found him in the desert. He must have been part of his entourage. You want to preserve your covet. You don't reveal your underbelly. You don't want to show your naked truth that you have doubts about whether anybody's going to be mechabed you for your own self. So if you send a shaliach to tell the shaliach, listen, go tell him that I, Yisrael, your father-in-law, am about to arrive. And that's all you tell him. But the other mandiyama said, no, he sent him a letter. The letter was signed and sealed. And the fellow who delivered the letter didn't have the slightest idea of what was written in that letter. But when he opened up the letter, Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a plaintive begging, almost like somebody that falls to his feet and says, listen, you have to give me kavod. And if I don't deserve kavod in your eyes, do it for your wife. Do it for your children. That's not something you talk to a shaliach and say, go tell this over to Moshe Rabbeinu. Because that itself is the biggest bizayon. That he needs to come on to that equation, that relationship. Don't do it for me, alright? You don't want to do it for me. That he's only going to write in a letter. But the tzad hashava, whether it's a shaliach or a letter, what is the first set of mandiyomrim saying? That he came out smishpacha and he came to get covered, and the covered that's we're talking about is the covered of a shver with an edim and an adam choshev coming from merchakim to a new environment and a different people, and this is the issue. The second half of the medrash says literally the exact opposite. The first half, it's not the Ribbono Shel'olam's concern. It's a bein adam l'chaveiro thing. It's a very political, you know, simple thing that happens every day in all kinds of environments. It's politics, it's diplomacy. And like the WikiLeaks, you know, you find a letter that says, if you don't do it for me, do it for your daughter, do it for your children. Like this, oh, Yisrael, yeah, you know. Then you find out all these negotiations that were going on, you know, between the lines, you know, that nobody's supposed to know about, nobody's supposed to see. And that's why, that's diplomacy. Diplomacy, of course, is the use of sheker to pad the MS when the MS doesn't work. I mean, that's what diplomacy is. And it has its place, I suppose. But that is not the opinion of Rebbe Lezer. Rebbe Lezer says, you're completely wrong. What happened with Yisrael is an agenda of the Eibishter. And Yisrael is not coming to his family and he's not interested in kavod. He wants to become part of the miraculous people of Israel. And that is why I want you to treat him with extraordinary deference. It's a very remarkable thing. That's what the Medrash says. Ani ushekirapti liYisrael v'loy richaktiv. Adam zeh sheba etzli loy ba ela l'shem shamayim v'loy ba ela liyizgayeh. Yad, Moshe, Yatzarin Nodavafiu Vishivim Mizikne Israel. Vyesh Oimrim. And this is of course a very interesting Shaila, because what Aaron are we talking about? That this Medrash is committed to the idea that Yisrael came after Matan Torah, correct. Vyesh Oimrim af Aaron Yotze Imayim. In other words, what does Aaron Yotze Imayim mean in any case? The Eibishter, who's pushing for Yisrael, also joined them. That's Lecho Lechem Lifnei Olikim. Remarkable, remarkable Medrash. Is it the humanity, the human story of Yisrael, or is it this great pageant of Yisrael coming, the only one that Shama Uba, and Hashem says, I am interested in giving him covet. Make sure that you do so. Says the Sfas Emes, based on this Medrash. And the Sfas Emes repeats himself a number of years. It's a very important thing for the Sfas Emes. The Medrash covered Chachomim in Cholu Dorish al Yisroi, her inyon hu. Ki Yisroi haven b'chachmosai amitus habayri yisborach ad sh'omar ata yodati. Avol godlo malas b'nei Yisroel sheyodim es habayri yisborach b'koyach toiru mitzvahs. Val zen nemar ha-seifa usmimim yinchalu tov shehi ha-torah. The Yisro Zocho Lekovot Shehum Ismola Osha Vechovot. V'lachein Hikdim Maise Yisroi K'moy Derech Eretz Kodmo La Teira. V'gam Shebnei Yisro Ro Tachlis HaYediyo Shal Yedei HaChochma Leida Acharkach Yisroin Ma'alas Koyach HaTeira V'HaMitzvahs. U'keshebo Yisro Libnei Yisro V'ro HaKoyach HaDerech Shalohem Shu Alpi HaTeira V'Hanogas HaBayre Oz Hoyo Kim Miyutar Be'enei Atzmai My shahoya mikodem nechsha be'ein of yoisem mikola chachomim sheyachochom gadol ki yadua v'lochein nikra Yisrael. Svasemis makes of this an incredible matamin. He says as follows. He says Yisrael, the reason he's called Yisrael is because the word Yisrael means superior. Yosef, more. He was more endowed with wisdom than his surroundings. And he had the ability to understand and comprehend the events that took place, even though he was a kohen for the Avodah Zarah, he changed because he discovered in his thinking, in his analysis, in his evaluation of Yetzias Mitzrayim and everything else that happened subsequently that he heard about. And through that capacity for wisdom and understanding, he came to a knowledge of Hashem. Now, we would expect that that's the highest level possible, that the human being can reach an understanding by analyzing correctly the circumstances of Hashem's presence in the world. Says this Sfas Emes, it pales in comparison to the level that was reached in Matan Torah. But he doesn't say because then they saw Hashem themselves. No. And he doesn't say it pales in comparison to what Shivcha Layam by Kriyas Yamsuf. You know what he says? He says, because Torah in mitzvahs gives a person a connection to the divine. And no knowledge that comes outside of that can match that sense of belonging to Hashem. A remarkable, remarkable thing. And he repeats it a number of times. So he says an amazing thing. He says that Hashem wants Yisro to be there when he gives the Torah, so that the people should see that this great chacham, and I've transcended him, because I said Naseh v'Nishma. It's to create the contrast. So Kavod Chachomim Yincholu is a Kavod which Yisrael reached. But Tzmimim, B'nai Yisrael, in their simplicity, in their immediacy of a knowledge of Hashem, Yincholu Toiv, because Ein Toiv Ela Toira. So it's a remarkable thing. He's learning very differently the juxtaposition of the two parts of the Psukim. And the same thing he says in an Arichus, a little bit more of an Arichus, in Tafresh Memhei, 5 years later, once again when he arrives at Parshas Yisrael. So I just wanted, you really should go through these Be'iyun yourselves, because Harbe Yosem Mashikaros Lifnechem Kosov Khan.